Blog Talk Radio.
Chapman, folks are hitting me up left and right, right? They always wait until I go on the air to do this for some reason, okay? The broadcast begins at 8 p.m. That's Eastern Standard Time, folks, 8 to 10, if we can get there, all right? We have people, I think, all, you know, in California and Mountain Time. I think in just about every time zone, certain people are trying to figure out when we're on. Right, so I think we put up enough information online for everyone, you know, to be able to get, you know, to the actual time that we start. But you know, we'll take another look. But how are you? I hope everybody's day has been well. We are, for those of you who are new to the ministry. The ministry is called Love at the Root because we strive to teach love at the root here. Online regarding what? Christian relationships, right? EYIC, that's the acronym. Sponsored by EYIC, the acronym for Equally Yoked in Christ Incorporated, the Christian nonprofit dedicated to, nonprofit organization dedicated to Christian relationships, biblical education, kingdom building, and ministry networking. So we invite you to call in, tune in, listen to the archives. We have over 200 of them online, all on relationships from, or should I say, for single, singles, for married, for divorce, so on, family, widow, so on. You may want to tap into that. People are hitting me up, and they're picking out different broadcasts that they want to hear, that they heard, that they've heard about online, and if it's some of the recent ones, then you know they're a little bit more available or quicker to find. But as I stated, we have over 200 broadcasts online. So what if you reach out to me and you say, well, Darren, you know, I just heard you did a broadcast on this and not too long ago, and can you send me the link? I may send you the link directly to that broadcast, or I may send you the link you can send to all of them, all 200-plus broadcasts that are archived, okay, on different topics of love and relationships and communication and trust and sex and all that good stuff, right? So, just wanted to share that with you. For those of you who live in Philadelphia, and of course I say this just about every broadcast, but, you know, it's good stuff, right? If you have, if you're low income and you have legal issues, you have some legal issues involved in your life, you may want to reach out to Christian Legal Clinics of Philadelphia. They are working together to provide legal services to low-income clients in the name of Christ, right? So you'll have an attorney. This place has attorneys that will offer to pray with you and address your spiritual and family concerns, which may be at the root of your legal problems. And they accept cases on a pro bono, which means or a reduced fee base, or reduced fee basis. So you may want to fill up your surrounding counties and surrounding states. You may want to, here on the East Coast, you may want to reach out to them. There, let me see if I can get the contact information. Christian Legal Clinics of Philadelphia. They're 4455 North 6th Street, Suite 100 here in Philly. 215 area code 399-0064. Or you can reach out to them at clc@clcphilla.org. All right. All right, so that's if you need those types of services. All right, so tonight's broadcast, if you didn't tune in, I just put a post up. Well, let me say this. If you didn't tune in, because we had some really good, the last couple of broadcasts that we did this week and so on, it's been really good. So if you are just coming in for the first time this week, you may not know that we just did a broadcast called Dating the Devil's Child, Unequally Yoked. Okay? So that was Sunday night. Right, and that is on my Facebook wall. And then we did a broadcast Saturday night, last Saturday, Christian Sexiness. Don't judge me. Don't judge mine. All right. These are some good, powerful broadcasts. So you may want to tap into the link here. www.blogtalkradio.com/EYIC or inbox me and I'll send you the link. So those are the latest ones that we've done. A very good, very, very, very good broadcast. And we had good participation as well. All right. Also, we want to, again, send thanks out to Sister King, Tania King, for her very large donation to our ministry, our solely donation-funded ministry. So we depend on those of you online to donate to help keep us, help keep this broadcast going from week to week. And there are times where we just don't have donations coming in and we are down, and we don't like that, right? Because there's so many people out there hurting regarding relationships, and people need biblical education for their Christian relationships, and we're striving to bring the divorce rate down, to bring biblical illiteracy down, to bring Christian abuse down, and all of this comes down as people get, as Christians get educated regarding relationships through the Bible. So, being as though we do this online and it's not free, there is a cost. We ask that if you can, if you have been blessed by any of our broadcasts and you just want to show that, show your support by helping us to stay, helping these broadcasts to stay online and keep going from week to week. And you want to do that with a monetary blessing, please do. If you don't know what the link is, reach out to me and I'll send it to you in your inbox, Facebook inbox, for those of you on Twitter, or you can go on over to my Facebook wall. And, of course, when those of you who donate, you know, I put it on my wall personally with your name and everything, and just to let everybody know. If you're kind of like, you know, behind the scenes, Darren, I want to donate, but I don't want everybody to know, we can do that too. We don't have to put you out there. but normally we like to, you know, put the post out there for those of you on Facebook who donate to the ministry, and just to let other people know that, you know, it's good that we support relationship teaching ministry. I wish that we had more of it in the church. Church on Sundays, possibly midweek Bible studies on Wednesdays or Thursday nights. We need a relationship teaching, relationship study ministry in midweek too. So, when you're listening, Bible study is good during the week, but, you know, it's Sunday to Sunday sometimes is a long way for folks who only go to church on Sundays, right? So, you know, Bible study Tuesday, Wednesday, maybe, you know, a relationship study, you know, singles or whatever, you know, singles. Just, you know, you can have singles, you can marry. Just about relationships, right? You know, maybe Thursday or Friday or something like that. You know, put it in there, right? So until then, we're going to keep teaching it online. And not even until then, while the church is adding it, while the churches are adding it in the brick and mortar, we're still going to keep doing it online, right? All right. Okay, so here it is. Relationships with favor. How do I get it? All right. Why does it seem for many Christians that their relationships serve more as a disservice to their welfare and walk instead of a contribution to it? How do you get to see the favor you've been looking for in your relationships, right? So let me give out the number here, and you may want to, something may come up and you may want to call in and give a little word. So the number is 949-272-9514. If you want to speak, press number 1. So once again, the number is 949-272-9514. If you want to speak, just press number 1. All right, so why does it seem for many Christians that their relationships serve more as a disservice to, have you ever been in a relationship? Have you, as a Christian, does it seem like all of your relationships or the majority of your relationships, it's just another person, another relationship, and it just always, you just look back, right? You look back from your life, from the point where you are now, you look back all your Christian relationships you were in, right? And it just seems like none of them were fruitful. Like, it didn't add up to nothing. A lot of them, you probably can't even remember what you did in them. That's how dull and bland and unfruitful and much of a disservice they were, right? It didn't add to your walk, didn't add to the welfare and walk of your Christian walk and your Christian welfare. It was like stale bread. It was like bread with no butter. It was like bread with no gravy. You know, it's just like, you know, if you look back, a lot of us can look back on our relationships, Christian relationships now. And you may say to yourself, wow, that's I can see the world relationships like that. But, you know, Christian relationships are supposed to be live. We're supposed to be jumping. And who I'm seeing in my Christian relationship is supposed to be lifting me up and supposed to be there for me and sharing my burdens and lifting me up. And you know, we look back, many of us look back at our Christian relationships and we're like, it's nothing. We see it as a disservice more so than the person that we were seeing in that relationship as Christians was actually contributing to the welfare and the walk of our Christian life. It seems as though we look back and we see ourselves in relationships where there was contribution to the welfare and walk of the worldliness that was in our Christian relationship, but not contribution to the welfare and walk of the Christian life. Because, you know, we look back and we see ourselves in certain relationships, and many of us, we see ourselves in all of our relationships just doing worldly stuff. For example, a lot of us look back at, and I'm not saying this about myself or, you know, any particular person, but, you know, a lot of you may look back and look at your Christian relationships and say, hey, I dated this person. I seen this person for a couple months. I was in a relationship with this person for a couple years. And now you look back and you're like, well, what do I have to show for that? And I'm not talking anything like materialism or monetary stuff or things like that. And it's nothing wrong with material things, but it's like we should be able to look back at our Christian relationships and see that whoever we were involved with, even though we're not in it now, we should still be able to look back and see that something, we did something with that person, that person did something for us. There was something in that relationship that contributed to my Christian welfare and walk as in my Christian life. And I can see that now, even though I'm not in that relationship, I can see it, you know, whatever that is, I'm still carrying along with me. It was a contribution. A lot of us, we don't see that. We see disservice. And because we see disservice, a lot of us as Christians, we're scared to get back into relationships. Some of us are fearful, yeah. Some of us are doubtful. Some of us are suspects, because we don't want to, we've experienced so much disservice and no contribution to our welfare and walk. You know, we have trust issues and we have phobias and we have complexes and all of this. So what's the whole point of all of this? Well, the whole point of all of this is because if you look back and you see yourself as someone that has experienced a lot of this disservice, then surely there's one thing that is, well, there's a couple things that's going on, but surely there's one thing that was not going on there in all of that, and that was favor. Now, I'm talking about from your mate. I'm not talking about from God right now. Okay, I'm just talking about you and your mate, you and that person you were dating, you and that person you were seeing, and your boo and whatever else that you folks out there label relationships. I don't label them, so there was no favor, and we're going to see how in the picture that I just painted as far as disservice, we're going to see as we move along in this broadcast how, once we understand what favor is, then the light bulb is going to come on and we're going to say, oh, that is what was missing. It was favor. Well, once we talk about what favor is and how to get it, then the light bulb is going to come on for a lot of you. You're going to say, oh, that's what it was. I thought it was something else. I thought it was this, that, and it's, no, oh, it was favor that was missing. And that's why it looked the way it did. Okay? All right. Folks are still hitting me up on Facebook, boy. I tell you. okay. So once again, I'm going to give out the number here. And if you want to call in at any time during the broadcast, please do. I will look out. And the chat room is open for those of you who have a question. The number is 949-272-9514. Again, the number is 949-272-9514. This is Darren Chapman. How you doing? All right. So let's open up with a little prayer here. Lord Jesus, help me to always concentrate on pleasing you. and forgive me for my sins of omission and commission, so that this prayer may be heard, Lord Jesus. Teach me how to pray for favor with others, especially when I need it most. Reveal to me how praying for favor can open up doors that appear to be closed in my relationships, Lord. And I thank you. I give you the praise, and I give you the honor. And thank you for blessing me favor, Lord, that I ask you for right now in my life, Lord, that I may gain favor with you and gain favor with man as well, Lord, so that you may be brought glory in all of this. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so most of us are familiar with the ideal that favor is some type of what? Preferential treatment, right? You know, some of us see it as a tool to get something that we want. You know, like if I walk up to you and I say, hey, brother, hey, sister, do me a favor, right? I have no intentions of paying you back or none of that. It's just you know, I just need a favor. I need you to do something for me. And sometimes people come to us in life and they ask for favors at great cost, right? And we're saying, geez, well, if I do you this favor, you know, that's $500. I'm going to want that $500 back, you know. So it all depends on who it is and what's being asked. You know, a favor can be something that is, you know, yeah, no problem. Or it could be, do you have any collateral? So most of us look at favor like that, right? But most of us, a lot of us look at favor as though it's you know, some type of preferential treatment shown to somebody. In other words, it denotes acceptance and approval and pleasure in many cases. So we see that the word favor here, and we have to be careful, we want to understand the words that we're about to speak here, because certain words are tied in together. The word favor in the Old Testament, we're talking about grace, we're talking about charm, we're talking about acceptance, we're talking about goodwill, we're talking about desire, right? And in the Greek, in the New Testament, New Testament, it's charis, or charis, favor. You know, almost everywhere in the New Testament, the word favor is translated grace. Grace and favor is essentially a gift. If we gain favor with people, or as we might say, get into their good graces. You know, you ever heard that saying? Get into somebody's good graces, that, you know, we have special access to them, you know. And we receive, because we have that special access, in your eyes, I'm in with you, with your good graces. So that means more so than all these other folks, you know, I know that, you know, because I'm in your good graces, I can step into your circle, into your world, and be greeted with gladness and delight, knowing that what I'm asking for, chances are, you know, almost 100%, I'm going to get from you because I'm in your good graces. So I have special access to you, and I receive things from you because of this, right? And another example is, and this is one that we can all understand as Christians, at our conversion, we learned that God's grace is his unmerited favor toward men through the blood of his son, Jesus Christ. And this unmerited favor includes not only being forgiven of sin, because remember, good graces, we have special access to a person and we receive something from them, right? So this unmerited favor includes not only being forgiven of sin, right? This is what we receive, but also receiving access to the very presence of God. In the same way Jesus has access to him, because the Bible says that, you know, we don't have to go through no, you know, pastor, pope, or priest, or anybody sitting in the pew. We can go to God boldly to the throne, sons and daughters, amen? All right, so we got favor, amen? And it tastes good. The flavor, the flavor of the favor is good with God. Amen. Regarding his children. All right. Yet, favor is actually different from grace. Okay. Although it comes from the same root word, grace is undeserved. Okay. And the Bible is full of instruction about how we can obtain favor. Example, we can obtain favor by watching and waiting, keeping his commands, walking in kindness and truth, praying, finding a good wife is God's favor. All right, a lot of you sisters may know that scripture. All right, Proverbs 31, Titus 2, suffering. These things produce favor. Okay, so different from grace. Grace is undeserved. Okay, but favor can be obtained by doing certain things. Okay, now there are three things apply to finding favor with God. I'm going to name three. I'm going to name three things that apply to finding favor with God. Okay? Because, and this is important, because as Christians, when we walk into relationships, a lot of us walk into relationships tore down some more because of the last relationship we were in yet with another Christian, the last couple of relationships we were in yet with other Christians, and all we've seen, going back to the addressment of tonight's broadcast that I just mentioned, because all we've seen and experienced was disservice. Remember I talked about disservice and contribution? Because all we've seen and all we've been seeing was disservice from all these men and from all these women. Okay, I'm going to keep it equal. Okay, we have yet to meet someone that will truly contribute to the welfare and walk of our Christian life. Okay, we got a whole lot of people that we've met that call themselves Christians, that we've dated, that we fell in and out of love, been with for years. Some of you may have been shacking, but all it added up to, when you look back, was disservice. As Christians, we want to make sure that we walk into relationships not broke down, tore up, and beat up. How many times have we already done that? Again, okay, it's time to start walk. Now, you can't put a finger on when the very next person that you meet. You don't know how they come in. I'm talking about you. Okay, you handle your business. You want to make sure that the next time you walk into a relationship, you are not walking into a relationship beat down and tore up from the experiences and the disservices of the people you were with, the other Christians that you were with that wasn't trying to walk right in that relationship. You want to make sure that you do not take that into your next relationship. You want to make sure that you walk into the next relationship with favor. Because guess what? The next Christian that you meet, that may be the one for you. And if they're walking into, if you both are walking together, you know, head to head, so to speak, they're walking towards you with favor, but you're not, well, they're going to probably think, no, no, you know, I'm not trying to be down. I'm not trying to hit the doom and gloom and the bad news all the time. They're going to have their head up, walking in favor. They expect to walk into the next relationship with another Christian who is walking with their head up and in favor too. You know, none of us want to walk into that next relationship you know, we'll sit down at Starbucks and have that little cup of coffee, and we meet for the first time, or we'll go out on a date, and we sit down for the first time, we have dinner. And next thing you know, you're sitting across the table, and this person is just pouring out the bad news and the doom and gloom and all of what they experienced, you know, and all of their relationships since they've been a teenager or since they've been saved, you know. And I'm not saying that we ignore, you know, what our brothers and sisters have gone through. You know, at first and foremost, we are brothers and sisters, so we ought to bend an ear. But regarding relationship, you want to make sure that you're not the one sitting at that table bringing an atmosphere that is opposite of joy. Okay, you want to bring an atmosphere of joy. Okay, people who walk in favor, they bring atmospheres of joy with them. Okay, they have high faith. They have high hopes. They just high. Okay, and we're not talking about off of that stuff. Okay. So we want to, there are three things to finding favor with God that you want to get a hold of so you can start walking in these things. So as you are looking, and even if you're not looking for marriage or, you know, that love or, you know, still as our individual Christian lives, in our individual Christian lives, we ought to be walking this way anyway. Okay? You say, well, I'm not looking for the favor of man. I'm only looking for the favor of God. Okay, well, here's three things. But it's going to help you if you're looking for the favor of man too. Okay? Number one, total unconditional surrender. That's number one. Finding favor with God implies that you totally, unconditionally surrender yourself to Jesus. I go even further, to the Father, to the Son, Jesus Christ, to the Holy Spirit. Every Christian, your walk, we all sin, I understand that, but we should be striving every day to totally and unconditionally, more and more every day, surrender our will, our dreams, our hopes, our minds, everything, our sin, our vices, surrender everything to Jesus. Lay it all out before the throne. Okay? Our hearts, Lord, I don't know how to love you right. Teach me how to love you right. Lord, I don't know how to have faith in you. Teach me how to have faith in you. Lord, I don't know how to cook a meal for this man. Teach me how to cook a meal for this man. Lord, I don't know how to caress this woman. Teach me how to caress this woman. Lord, I don't know how to be a friend. You see me, I'm alone. That's why I don't have no friends. And I don't know how to. Lord, you're the friend of all friends. Lord, teach me how to be a friend. Totally, unconditionally surrender yourself to Jesus. We're talking about you. Because I know a lot of you saying, well, you know, Darren, I'm doing that. But when I meet, you know, the other person, they got the. We're not talking about they right now. We're talking about you. Okay. Because we want to believe that the day is going to come where if you are seeking to be equally yoked, this is the walk that you need to be walking in. If you're going to have faith and hope that God is going to lead you to the Proverbs 31, Titus 2 brothers, okay, and sisters, you're going to be with the, you know, Davids and, you know, the Pauls and the strong men and have courage and faith in God and belief and strong foundation in God. This is what you want to be walking in. Okay? This is a daily thing. Total, unconditional surrender to God. Number two, absolute purity. You want to make sure that you're not shacking. You're not going to find favor with God if you're shacking. You're not going to find favor with God if you're fornicating. Well, we just did it a little bit. That was just a little bit. There ain't nothing wrong with just a little bit. Boy, you want to make sure you're not fornicating and that you're not shacking and that you're not even doing a little bit because you think God ain't going to mind and your mate won't mind if you just get a little bit, you know? All right, so we want to live our lives and total unconditional surrender. This is what we want to strive for. We're striving to live our lives in absolute purity. That's number two. And the third thing is kingdom thinking, because a lot of Christians got stinking thinking, okay? Thinking is just stinking when it comes to relationships, okay? Kingdom thinking, that means Romans 12:2, having the mind of Christ, okay? And I normally don't promote books on these broadcasts because I like to read them first. You know, folks always come to me, Darren, on Facebook, you know, apostle this and evangelist this and author this, and then I wrote books. And Darren, tell everybody about my book. I ain't read your book. I'm not promoting nothing if I ain't read it, okay? But I have read Joyce Meyer's Battlefield of the Mind, and let me tell you something. That is a very, very good book. Get it if you can, by Joyce Meyer. It was out a long time ago, but it is good. It's called Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. Okay? So these are three things that you need to do. Okay? Condition yourself. Chisel yourself. Okay? As you're walking your Christian life until, you know, if you're praying for that mate to be equally yoked, you want to chisel yourself and grow yourself and mold yourself with these things every single day. Yeah, you're still going to sin. You're not going to be perfect. We already know that. But that does not exclude the fact that you're not supposed to be doing these things. These are the things that you're supposed to be doing if you want to find favor with God. Total unconditional surrender. Absolute purity. Absolute, not a little bit. Absolute purity. Kingdom thinking. Get that stinking thinking regarding a lot of us Christians, boy, you walk out your house, you know, and it's like you talk, you meet somebody, you know, got the smiles going on, strike a conversation. Oh, yeah, you know, I go to church, you go to church. Oh, you saved? Yeah, I'm saved. And that's about all you hear that. Conversation after that is war. It just goes straight to, it goes straight to hell. That's where it goes. Okay? Kingdom thinking, having the mind of Christ, strategy, divine strategy, wisdom, divine wisdom, knowledge, divine knowledge. Okay? Now, at the heart of growing in favor are two aspects, okay? So we got three things that you can give application to right now in your life. You can start right now if you're not already doing it to find favor with God in your life, in your Christian walk, and that is total unconditional surrender, absolute purity, kingdom thinking, having the mind of Christ. Okay, now, at the heart of growing in favor, okay, so now you're ready to grow. You say, Darren, I've totally unconditionally surrendered everything in my life to the Lord. I'm lying, I'm not sleeping around, I'm not shacking with nobody, I'm not having a little bit of nothing. I live in absolute purity. And I ain't got no stinking thinking, I'm kingdom business, kingdom-minded. Mind of Christ. Okay, so now, at the heart of growing in favor, these two aspects I want to share with you. Okay, because now you want to grow. Okay, you know what you have to do, now you want to grow. Number one is the pursuit of God. The practice of coming before God through the new and living way. You go to Hebrews 10 on that. That Christ has made available to us. Just go to Hebrews 10 on that. Okay? Hebrews 10. The heart of growing in favor, growing, you want favor to grow, is the pursuit of God, the practice of coming before God through the new and living way. Because a lot of Christians are still, they're saved, and you are new, but you're not living your life like you're new, and you're not walking into relationships and living your relationships like they are supposed to be lived, which is new. A lot of you bring baggage from other relationships. You bring that humdrum stuff from, and folks don't want to hear that, especially if they're not walking in that. We'll sympathize with you and pray with you, but I mean, you talk about, you know, now you're with me. That brother, that sister that screwed over you in your life and tore you up, and I'm going to pray with you, and I'm going to have sympathize with you. I'm going to have compassion with you, but now you're with me. Now you're in front of my face, okay? Straighten it up, because I can't be with you. I can't be. Straighten it up, okay? Total unconditional surrender, absolute purity. Get that stinking. I don't want to hear that stinking thinking. Kingdom thinking, having the mind of Christ. This is what we're supposed to be as Christians. This is nothing new, unless you heard it for the first time. Okay, I'm trying to grow in faith. I'm pursuing God. The practice of coming before Him through the new and living way, the Hebrews chapter 10, specifically verse 20. That God has made to us, that Christ has made available to us, okay? So you want to read up on that. Number two, and receiving in God's presence measures of His own nature that empowers us to be conformed into the image of the Son He loves, which is Jesus. Let me say this again. At the heart of growing, talking about growing favor, the pursuit of God, the practice of coming before God through the new and living way, as you are, as you're supposed to be. Think about that. You come to God new. You feel new when you come to God, even though we go through things that we're broken. We need, you know, we want to lay our burdens on Jesus and that we're supposed to do. But we, you know, we come to God. We know that we're a new creature, right? So we're supposed to walk into our relationships that way. I understand what I've been through, but this next relationship, I'm walking in new. You won't even know that I've been through stuff. You probably won't. If you walk into the relationship the way you're supposed to, guess what? That person is not even going to know that the last relationship you just came out of that was broke down, tore down, got you. You won't even know it because you're going to have a smile on your face. You're going to be shouting with joy. Won't even know it. And it takes... You know, you have to look into your own heart, your own life. You know, it takes some people a while to get to this point, and we understand that. But this is how you're supposed to be coming in relationships. You're not supposed to let the woes of the last relationship be a discredit to the new relationship that you're walking in. You're supposed to walk into every relationship new, with a new and living way. Okay? So number two, receiving, talking about growing in favor, receiving in God's presence measures of His own nature. Okay, now you have to get into what is the nature of God. Okay, remember, I say this time and time and time and time again because it's at the root of this ministry that you're listening to right now online. Biblical education for Christian relationships, they go hand in hand. If you separate them, you're not going to see what you want to see in your Christian relationships. It's like taking, if you're black, it's like taking the black skin off of your body. If you're brown, it's like taking the brown skin off your body. White is like taking the white skin off your body. It's not going to happen, right? All right. So you want to get into understanding the measures of God's own nature because this empowers us. The measure of God's nature empowers us. The nature of God empowers us. Boy, this is one of the most powerful studies that you could ever do is understanding the nature of God and how that applies to your relationships. Okay? Empowers us to be conformed into the image of Jesus. Okay. So God shows favor to the ones who delight in, connect with, and give honor to Him. Okay, Isaiah 66:2 says, "These are the ones I look on with favor, those who are humble and contrite in spirit and who tremble at my word." That's Isaiah 66. However, this should not be looked upon as some sort of like secret formula, you know, genie in the bottle for you, trying to get everything you want. Okay? If we dig into chapter 6, we see when Isaiah seen the revelation of God in the earthly temple, he humbly and with trembling responded to God in offering himself to service. In other words, Isaiah came to grips with himself that he was poor and contrite in spirit. He recognized his nothingness compared to the nature of God. Nothing. We are nothing. Okay? He recognized his nothingness with the true state of his own spirit. He recognized as lame and limping. And Isaiah trembled at the word of God because he recognized God for who he is, the high and lofty one who inhabits the everlasting. So in all the vastness of the universe, these are the ones to whom God pays attention, the humble, the poor, the spiritually limping, the spiritually lame. You can compare that to chapter 61 and chapter 35. God looks to those who hear his word and his instruction and fear him and respond to his word. For the fear of Yahweh, Father in heaven, is the beginning of what? And you heard this before, of wisdom. And to depart from evil is what? And you heard this before, I'm sure, is understanding, Job 28. And you can cross that to Psalms 111. So, in saying all that, the Bible teaches us that we can pray for God's favor, which can be a powerful weapon when we walk into a lot of these relationships, when things come out that are not the character of the Holy Spirit, come out in the relationship that don't reflect the nature of God. The Bible teaches that we can pray for God's favor, which can be a powerful weapon against the enemy's attack. Not only the enemy's attack, but when the person you're in front of is acting like they're the enemy as well, with their characteristics and how they acted, their behavior. So we see in Psalms 89:17, in the New Living Translation, it says, our power is based on your favor, God's favor. Okay? Your power is based on God's favor. Psalms 5, all right, in the 512 in the NIV says, surely, O Lord, you bless the righteous. You surround them with your favor as with a shield. Okay. We also see it in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. The word says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. To be perfect toward him means we seek his favor more than we seek the favor of anyone else. Even ourselves, as God seeks out those who love him and love his commands so that he can bless and guide, 37 and Proverbs 3. Now, this does not mean that everyone who is prosperous or healthy has found favor with God. All right? So you walk into relationships where folks have a lot of money, and they're flaunting a lot of money around, that does not mean that they have favor with God. And we can see that out of Jeremiah 12 and out of Psalms 37. Okay? Nor does it mean that those whom the Lord favors will never see difficulties or difficult times, because many people in the Bible did have the Lord's favor, but they also suffered hardship. 2 Corinthians 6. You go to Acts 14 and 20, and you go to 1 Peter 2. Okay, we see Noah, Genesis 6, suffer hardship, had the Lord's favor. Moses, Exodus 32 and 3. We see Daniel, chapter 10. We see Mary in Luke 1, all favored by the Lord, but they struggled with difficulties. Okay? Now, you walk into a relationship, your next Christian relationship, and you see that person struggling, and you say, well, they don't have the favor of God. Well, you may want to recant that statement, because we just just see here, Noah, Moses, Daniel, Mary, they all had the favor of God, but they struggled. And this is why we're not supposed to judge what we see. We were supposed to look into the spirit. Okay? So, yet those who are favored of God know that God is with them. So Mary and Daniel and Moses and Noah and Peter and you struggle. And you say, I have the favor of the Lord. You know that God is with you even in your struggle. Those who are favored of God know that God is with them and that nothing can happen to them apart from his goodwill. We see that in Romans 8. And you may be jumping up right now saying, that's me. Because I'm going through a lot of things in this relationship, but I know I have the favor of God because I know he is still with me. And nothing can separate him or and bring us apart from his good and from his good purpose for my relationships in my life. Those who are favored of God have his ear as they walk through dark times in their relationships, dark valleys. Go over to Psalms 34. And those of us who are favored of God know that their struggle to remain true to him will not go unrewarded. So you know your rewards are coming. You know you have, regardless of what you're going through in the struggle, and whatever type of struggle that you're going through in your life, you can know you have favor with God. You will be rewarded. You will not go unrewarded. You will be rewarded as you go through your struggle. Know that you have the favor of God. Know that you will be rewarded. Matthew 10 and Revelation 2. Those who are favored of God know that their struggle to remain true to him will not go unrewarded. Regardless of the struggle of your relationships or what you're going through, whatever the struggle is, you know that you are going, no matter what happens, the cow could jump over the moon could fall out the sky. You are going to remain true. All the mountains could lay flat. The whole world can go to war. You will remain true to God, to Jesus, to the Father, to the Holy Spirit. You will remain true to him. God's favor can be felt in the spirit. Of course. The grace of God is the favor of God. And the grace of God causes good things to happen in our lives through the channel of what? Faith. So it's not by human power or might, but through God's spirit of grace that we find favor with God and man. And we try to do it on our own in relationships. We try to make relationships like we have a hammer and a chisel, and we're trying to chisel our own grace and chisel our own favor and chisel our own relationships. It's not by human power or might, but through God's spirit of grace that we find favor with God and man. Remember, grace is undeserved. You can't chisel that. Favor you can work on. But it has to come through the spirit of God's grace. It has to come through God's spirit of grace. So when we have the favor of the Lord, we rest in quiet confidence. When we have the favor of the Lord, we rest. We rest. Are you a Christian and you can't seem to find no rest? There's no rest in your life. You're a nervous wreck. There's no rest. When we have the favor of the Lord, we rest in quiet confidence that our sins are forgiven. Romans 4. We are within the plan of God. Psalms 86, and that's. I keep talking about relationships because this is a relationship teaching for those of you who are just joining us for the first time. So everything we teach is in context of Christian relationships in the light of biblical education, which is Scripture. So when we have favor with the Lord, we rest in quiet confidence that our sins are forgiven, that we are within the plan of God for our relationship, Psalm 86, and that he is there for us at all times, regardless of the struggle. Isaiah 41 and Matthew 28. So we realize favor when we start walking with God. And I mentioned this word friend earlier in the broadcast. We realize favor when we start walking with God as a friend closer than our closest friend. We realize favor with God when we wake up every morning, right? You know you have favor when you wake up. You start to move your lips and blessing his name because you see and appreciate the little blessings that God provides for your enjoyment, blessings that you may have once taken for granted. Or someone else took for granted and they no longer have anymore. But you still can wake up. You still wake up. You still can hear. You still can see. You still can taste. You still can walk. You still can laugh. You still can love. We're going to go to Proverbs in a second here, and we're going to talk about how do you get favor with God out of Proverbs. You are listening to the EYC Radio Network. My name is Darren Chapman. How are you? And if you want to call in, please do. Here's the number. It is 949-272-9514. Okay. I'll give that out again. Anything is just running through your heart regarding this broadcast right now, please do and share with us. The number is 949-272-9514. And we're talking about relationships with favor. How do I get it? And so far we have talked about a couple ways that you gain favor, not only with God, but gain favor with man. And I realize there's a lot of information on our broadcast as we try to teach and share a lot of these things from biblical education, and that's okay. You can always go back and listen to the archives as much as you need to get everything down, or whatever that you need to pull out of the broadcast to add to what you already know about going further in your Christian life and walk, and in your relationships. Amen. So relationships with favor, how do I get it? Why does it seem for many Christians that their relationships serve more as a disservice to their welfare and walk instead of contribution to it? We talked a little bit about that in the beginning of the broadcast. How do you get to see the favor you've been looking for in your relationships? And we've been talking about that thus far. And to answer that question in another way, we can go to Proverbs. We see it in Proverbs chapter 3 to 4. We see it in Proverbs chapter 3, 3 and 4. It says, love not mercy, or should I say, let not mercy and kindness. And I'm reading this I believe this is from the Amplified. Let not mercy and kindness and truth forsake you. Bind them about your neck. Write them up on the tablet of your heart. So shall you find favor. And then it says, good understanding and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, that's a lot right there. That's a lot. Let not mercy and kindness, meaning in the Amplified, I believe this is, shutting out all hatred and selfishness, and truth, shutting out all deliberate hypocrisy and falsehood, forsake you. Let not mercy and kindness and truth ever forsake you. Bind them about your neck. We are to bind mercy and kindness and truth about our lives. And all that we do, we need to write them upon our heart, write them upon the tablet of your heart, so shall you find not only favor, but good understanding and high esteem in the sight of God and man. These two verses are power-packed. This is a power-packed verse. As we walk into relationships, this is how we should be walking. This is one of the ways how we should be walking. We're talking about favor, getting favor. Okay? You're in a relationship right now, and you're trying to figure out how to gain favor from the person you're in a relationship with right now. Here it is. Bind around your neck. Write it upon your heart. Bind around your neck, upon your heart. Instill it in your life, mercy, kindness, and truth. Do not forsake these things in your life, and you will find favor, good understanding, and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, along with obedience, now provide you, mind you, should the person in your relationship right now that you're trying to seek favor from and you do these things recognize this truth and their heart is tuned to this truth and they have mercy and kindness and truth bound around their life, their neck, and written on their heart, then they will acknowledge what you're trying to do. Okay? So I just want to put that out there. Okay? So along with obedience, you are to hold firmly to loving kindness and truth. So it's we're talking about mercy and kindness and truth along with obedience, because you have to be obedient. In order for you to bind these things around your neck, bind them to your life, write them on the tablet of your heart, keep them in your mind, to be able to see this favor and this good understanding and this high esteem in the sight of God and man, you have to be obedient. It's just not, okay, well, I'm going to do it for just a day, and then I expect to see it for the rest of the days. No, you got to be obedient with this and faithful with this. You are to be compassionate. Well, what does that mean? That means you are to chase covenant love and honor without deceit in your relationships. Do you know what covenant love is? You are to bind compassion and truth around your neck. As ancient men bounded their signet around their neck. You go back to Genesis 38 on that. And they did that to reveal the means of their identification of who they were. Mercy, kindness, and truth. You got to write these things on your heart. You need reference for that. You can go to Deuteronomy chapter 11 and Jeremiah 31. You are to be in complete contrast, the opposite of violence and deceit and false love and ungodly relationships. We're talking about favor with God and man. You are to be completely contrast, opposite of violence and deceit and false love. Stop leading people astray. Leading folks down the block thinking that, you know, leading folks into falling in love with you when you ain't trying to fall in love with them. You have no sight in loving them. You just there because you want something. They got something that they can get for you, or they have something that you want them to give to you. Stop the false love. And what are the consequences of being completely contrast with violence? What is the consequence of being completely opposite of violence and deceit and false love and not mingling in ungodly relationships? What is the consequence of that? have favor and appreciation by both God and man. You will be seen as a man or a woman of good repute, whose heart is right. So what are we talking about here? If anybody has figured it out by now. What are we talking about here as far as favor in our lives? The favor that we want to see in our lives. That we have to do these things daily. We have to be up on them daily. What are we talking about here? The issue of growing in favor is an issue of stewardship. Stewardship. And a lot of us Christians fail in our relationships because we don't know how to steward our relationships. A lot of us Christians fail in our relationships because we don't see the things we want in our relationships because we don't know how to steward our relationships in a way that whereas though we start to see favor in them. It's about stewardship. It's about stewardship. So the issue of growing in favor, because we talked about how to get favor. Now we're talking about growing in favor. The issue of growing in favor is an issue of stewardship. And stewardship in relationship turns into partnership. Boy, I'm going to say that again. Y'all folks is quiet tonight. Okay. Okay. All right. Let me say this again. Growing in favor. Okay, we talked about how to get favor. Now we're talking about growing in favor. Growing in favor is an issue of stewardship. As a Christian, you have a Christian walk to walk. You have a Christian relationship to live. So in other words, you're responsible and you're accountable for your walk and for your relationship. That means that you're responsible and you're accountable for your walk and your relationship. So that means you have to be a what? You got to be a steward of it. You have to be a steward, like a student, you know, a Christian student, study to show thyself approved, so you can be a good steward over your relationships. And again, many of us fail at being stewards, good stewards. Many of us fail, many of us Christians fail at being good stewards over our relationships because of what? We don't combine our relationships with biblical education. That shows us how to be good stewards over our relationships because biblical education already knows before you even walk into a relationship that the only way you're going to succeed in partnership is to first master your stewardship. Is anybody following me? Boy, I don't know if anybody following me. You can't have a partnership unless two walk together in agreement. Uh-oh. Now we're off on something else here, okay? A lot of us in relationships, they fail because what? We got disagreements. I don't see it that way. You see it another way. And we're not equally yoked. Amos 3:3, will two walk together except they have agreed? So if us walk in, we see these disservices as we look back in our past relationships, and rightfully so. We try to force the relationship, and the more we force the relationship because we want that thing over there, we want them shoes and them pocketbooks and them fur coats and that money to pay our rent, and we want all this stuff. So we force our relationships when the relationship is saying, Amos 3:3. This relationship is not Amos 3:3. Why are y'all two trying to walk together? Y'all forcing this stuff. Now, Amos 3:3 knows this, but we don't, right? So we force the relationship into abuse. Oh, my goodness. I've been abused in my relationship. Oh, yeah? Did you ever see the point where you needed to stop trying to force that relationship so walk into that abuse? So you don't reap what you sow. Let's get back. So biblical education says stewardship. Biblical education says you should know before you even start talking about partnership that you need to get your stewardship game on. There's no game, but you need to get that thing checked, because when you get your stewardship chiseled and you walk into a partnership then says, okay, you shouldn't even be looking at me unless you got your stewardship on individually, because this is what's going to make this relationship. And partnership says, okay, because you think you got your stewardship on, you better have it on, because if you don't, you're not going to run smack into, and I'm not going to run smack into with you, Amos 3:3, which is walking in agreement with that other person. And this is true. You and your mate will not continually stay together unless you both are at one with each other. And even though God may know that both of you, because you're saved, God cannot walk together in covenant of your relationship unless you both are in agreement about the need to walk together. Now, what is that all about? The need to walk together. What is the need? What does that have to do with favor? What does the need of anything that we have to do in our relationship walk together have to do with favor? God cannot walk together in covenant of your relationship, unless you both are in agreement about the need to walk together. If you can't walk together, according to Amos 3:3, then there is no partnership. So now you're back to stewarding your own individual Christian walk. But in light of being equally yoked in marriage, in business, in relationship, Christian to Christian, you have to have not only these things of being walking in to these relationships with your stuff together as a good steward of what you got, but being able to see the divine connection of the partnership. And then the relationship says, oh, yeah, we're getting better. And now you have to understand what all that is needed for. Because if you don't, you still want to walk in the way that you want to walk. And the need is to walk in agreement now. We take baby steps, right? You have to be able to understand the need between you and your mate as far as walking together, in order to be able to be one, and then say, okay, now let's lock in the need so we can walk towards God in agreement to what He needs us to do together as one, two as one. I don't want to lose anybody with this, because I'm trying to continue on with this favor, because boy, I feel like going to the right and going back to Genesis and bringing it back together, who God has put together. Let no man separate and take you from there. But I can't go back there. I got to keep on. So even as Christians, we conduct our relationships in such a way. Now hear me on this. As Christians, we conduct our relationships in such a way where the covenant agreement, which houses favor and blessing and unity and protection and life and so much more, cannot be seen. Why? Because of sin. Even if it's going our own way and not God's, that's still sin. Because we walk more in agreement. Look back at your past relationships, broke down, tore down. They were of disservice instead of contribution. We walk more in agreement with our partner than we do with God. Oh, boy. We walk in self-made relationships instead of a God-led covenant. Oh, boy. So this is, and I don't want to people get on Facebook and they say, Pastor Darren, and I'm not a pastor. And I'm not even trying to preach. I'm just trying to get you to understand how all this connects regarding you being a Christian and your identity and relationships. As Christians, we conduct our relationships. We conduct our relationships in a way that where as though the covenant agreement, which houses our favor and our blessing and our unity and our life and protection and so much more, cannot be seen. Because we walk more in agreement. We walk more in agreement with our partner at times than we do with God. And that's the truth. And that's why we never feel like God is with us in our relationships when we're together and you know, dating and courting and all that, and we don't see no favor in it, because we on and about on our own stuff and not God's stuff. We need to turn away from self-made relationships and get into God-led covenants. As Christians, we walk into this dating and this courting and stuff, and we have these words, right? We call it dating, and we label this stuff, right? We call it dating, and we call this intimate relationship, and we got all these labels, right? But technically, from biblical light, when two Christians walk into a relationship, they are expected to know that they are walking into a covenant together. And based on the word covenant, that means that you should be living out some divine stuff. All the stuff you doing in that relationship, because that relationship is technically a covenant because you are two Christians, God-led covenant, it entails biblical education. But we don't want to see that. I'm not in no covenant with you. I'm just in a relationship with you. No, we Christian. Make no mistake about it. I call you girlfriend and you call me boyfriend, but we are saved first and sons and daughters of God first. We in a covenant, Jack, first and foremost, before you even want to go down the block and try to put this covenant into a worldly view and call it dating and call it booed up. And whatever you want to call it, self-made relationships. Don't get it twisted. This is how we need to come in these relationships, with truth about who we are and the relationships we're supposed to be walking in according to how God planted us in the Spirit of the Lord. So again, at the heart of growing in favor are two aspects: the pursuit of God and covenant agreement, the practice of coming before God through the new and living way. I'm not coming the dating way. I'm not coming the intimate, faddish, booed up, whatever type of label, worldly label way that the world says I should. I'm coming the new and living way, because that's where I'm supposed to come in this relationship that Christ has made available to me and you too. Because I'm looking for favor from you, from God. You should be looking for favor from God and from me. All three of us connect. At the heart of growing in favor are two aspects: the pursuit of God and covenant agreement, the practice of coming before God through the new and living way, Hebrews 10, that Christ has made available to you, and receiving in God's presence measures of his own nature that empowers us to be conformed to the image of the Son he loves. That is not self-made. That is spirit-born and led. And the truth is, well, the truth is that if we just concentrate on pleasing God, and this is something very, very simple. If we just concentrate on pleasing God instead of trying to please each other more in our relationships, you know, I'm always trying to please you, you're always trying to please me, none of us comes, we don't come together and say, what can we do about this relationship so that we can please God. When was the last time you walk into a Christian relationship and you said, well, you know, I want to please you, and I know you want to please me, but check this out. We both want to please God more. So instead of us trying to spend a weekend out on a date pleasing each other, let's for once, okay, let's just sit at this table, right? I invite you over my house, or you invite me over your house. Let's just sit at this kitchen table, you know, on this bright sun, a sunny afternoon, weekend, and you know, whatever. And let's make some tea. You know, let's you know, eat a slice of cheesecake, or you know, whatever. And let's just sit at this table and let's get a pen and a pad. Okay, shut the cell phone off, put your iPod down, shut your computer off, stop your texting and your Instagramming and whatever else that you do. Let's get a paper and a pencil. Let's get a pad and a pencil, and let's write down the things that we need to do between you and I together to please God. Because that way, if we know that we do that, God will grant us favor, and that he will, Lord willing, I believe, give us revelation on now what we should be doing together to please each other instead of guessing. Oh, do you like it this way? Do you like it up? How about around to the side? Well, let me try that. Boy, y'all not hearing what I'm saying. All right, so let me keep going because we running out of time here. Because I know it's a lot of y'all. I done left a lot of y'all. And what I'm saying, Christian relationships that walk in self-led sin will not see the favor or taste the flavor of God. I'll say this again. Christian relationships that walk in self-led sin will not see the favor or taste the flavor of God. There is no acceptance. There's no approval, no pleasure, except between you and your mate and sin. Because sin makes it impossible to gain favor from God and man. Go to John chapter 10. My sheep, verse 28, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, when relationships fail, we have a tendency more than a few times to blame our mate for X, Y, and Z reasons. Example, you're not supporting me going back to school, or you're not supporting me when I'm switching my career paths, or et cetera. And yet, the sober reality is that most of our relationship endeavors, should I say, and dreams, go unfulfilled because of lack of favor with God and man. They ain't got nothing to do with me not supporting you or support, because I'm not the one giving favor. I'm the one trying to get favor with you in this relationship. I'm talking about where it comes from originally. That's what I'm talking about. We both trying to seek where to get the favor from, so we can extend it to each other. God extends favor to me, I extend it to you, and so on, and you back to me. So when our relationships fail, we try to blame each other. Oh, you didn't support this, you didn't support, and then, truth be told, it's because of lack of favor with God. And who you're dating has lack of favor as well. So you're not getting no favor from God. You're not getting no favor from the person you're in a relationship with. And you ain't seeking no favor. But, where favor is increasing, we witness the power of what? Exponential increase that comes through what? Agreement. That comes through agreement. That comes through agreement. I'm going back to Amos 3:3. Is anybody tying all this in? I know it's a lot. You may have to listen to. I'm sure you're going to have to listen to the archive. Okay. I'm lining this up like dominoes. Okay. You connect all this together. If you really listen, where favor is increasing in relationship, we witness power of exponential increase. That comes through what? Agreement. And this agreement, the word agreement, is the byproduct of favor. Agreement. A lot of you have never had favor in your relationships because you can't agree on nothing. An agreement says that you're not going to see partnership unless you side with me. And partnership says you're not going to even see me unless you want it stored in what you have individually correctly. I just backtrack. The growing who has favor, okay? You're a Christian, you're growing, you're stewarding your own Christian walk as you should be doing, and you see favor, okay, in your life, amen? The growing steward who has favor will daily recognize this essential question that I'm about to share with you. The growing steward. If you're a growing steward with favor in your life, this question that I'm about to share with you, you should recognize, and you should know it. And the question is, what have I done with the favor God has given to me? Because you know that as God is giving you favor, you're just not going to pile it all up and do nothing with it. Just like if God were to make you rich, you know that you're not going to hoard money because hoarding is a sin. So you got to do something with that money. You're putting it in the ministry. You're putting it in the kingdom. You're donating to ministries that are blessing you. You're buying food for the homeless. Well, you're doing something with it in the kingdom. Favor says that if God has blessed you enough to see me, you're just not going to do nothing with me. Because even though you are blessed, the greater question is, how can the blessing be used through me to give greater glory to God through my life? Otherwise, I'm just using the favor in this relationship to glorify me and my mate. Uh-oh. You can recognize the favor and are thankful for it, but keeping it all to yourself is not enough. You must show it in a way where the bigger person and the greater picture is shown more than your personal blessing and favor so that people don't see you but see Jesus. They don't see your relationship but see Jesus. The bigger person is not you but Jesus. The greater picture is not your life but Jesus dying on the cross at Calvary for you and your mate and me. Today, you don't have to struggle for favor. Just release it by speaking forth God's word in faith. On your work, on your way to work, on your way home, on your way to the internet. Say, God's favor surrounds me as with a shield. Amen in the name of Jesus, Psalms 5:12. I'm going to speak his word into my life. As you continue to speak God's favor over your life out of a revelation of Jesus' finished work, not yours, you will see more of it being released in your life and in your relationships. Going over to Nehemiah 1 in the Old Testament, very important biblical principle. God will grant us favor with, he will grant you favor with others when you help carry out his will and his plan. And that also includes in your relationships because he's working through your relationships. Don't think that God is working everywhere else in your life but not in your relationships. And that's probably one of the reasons why a lot of you have the relationships that you're in, because you think God is working in you through work. He's working in you through church on Sundays. He's working in you through community service. He's working, but you don't see him working in you through your relationships. Carrying out his will and his plan through your relationships. So we can pray for favor when we take a stand for the Lord. We go to the first chapter of the book of Daniel. This young prophet resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine. He said, I'm not eating that. And scripture says, now God had caused the official to show favor and sympathy to Daniel. Daniel 1:8. The Lord invites us to seek his favor. Psalms 119, 135, 2 Kings 13, Jeremiah 26, Zephaniah 2, verse 3. The Lord invites us to seek his favor. I don't know if he really wants to give me favor, Darren. Yes, he does. He invites you to seek his favor. He wants you to seek his favor. Psalms 119, 135, 2 Kings 13, Jeremiah 26 is right here, and his word is true. It's about you. Zephaniah 2. When we seek his favor, we humble our hearts before him. Go humble before him when you seek his favor, the favor of the Lord. Go humble before Jesus. Nobody goes before the throne prideful. They won't see it. 2 Kings 22, go humble before the Lord when you seek his favor for your relationships, starting with yourself. Steward your own house first before you seek that partnership. Okay, we talked about that. Seek first kingdom and righteousness. Matthew 6. So the more we please God, the more we will be favored by him. And we don't, you know, it's not important to think of this favor in material or worldly terms, because God's, even though that can't happen, but God's favor most likely will be given in spiritual blessings more than material blessings, even though you can be favored materially as well. But spiritual blessings are more important. So seek out and obtain your favor of the Lord, praying unto the Lord, Job 33, keeping the commandments of the Lord, Proverbs 3, seeking and finding God's wisdom, Proverbs 8, be diligent in seeking good, Proverbs 11, he that diligently seek good procureth favor. But he that seeketh mischief, and you can add, if you put relationships in there, you seek mischief in your relationships, it shall come unto him. You're not going nowhere. Living righteously, Proverbs 14. Fools make a mock at sin, but among the righteous there is favor. These are all verses where you can go. And you'll find benefits of being in favor of the Lord. Benefits? You got benefits, Darren? Don't ask me. Open up your word. There it is. Esther, chapter 7. If I have found favor in thy sight, O king, there are benefits in having favor in relationships. God will compass us with a shield, Psalms 5. With favor will thou compass him as with a shield, Psalms 30. We will receive life, for his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. And his favor is life. You seeking life? You want to resurrect your relationships? And his favor is life. You seeking favor? You got life. You got favor? You got life. You seeking favor? You seeking life. Psalms 41, our enemies will not triumph over us. But this I know, that thou favorest me, because mine enemy do not triumph over me. God will show mercy, Psalms 119. I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word. So in closing here, let me just say this, because we've given out, there's so much information here about favor, and you may want to really take a retake of this broadcast and listen to the archive. While God loves everyone the same, not everyone has the same measure of favor. Yet, everyone is positioned increase in favor if each one of us effectively stewards what we have, whether you got a little bit, whether you got a lot, whether you're poor, whether you're rich, whether you got a mansion or you're living in the projects, everyone is positioned to increase in favor if each one of us effectively stewards what we have. You got 10 slices of bread, you steward that correctly, more favor. I got one slice of bread, I steward that correctly, more favor. In other words, when we seek his face, Jesus, with the favor we have, we increase in favor itself. Amen. And that is what we have to say about favor tonight. Relationships with favor. How do I get it? Listen to the broadcast over again if you missed it, because we have talked about so many different ways of how you can get it, how you can grow in it and have favor with God and man. God bless you.
If any lack knowledge, ask God, will I need you? I believe without doubt, but some are blown and tossed, spiritually dead in the world that they walk in. Your people perish for what they don't know. The blind lead the blind, and it troubles my soul. The command you gave, love one another as you love me. I love my sisters and brothers. The cross that I bear is to honor your name, to let your will be done until my dying day. There's a love in me that comes from you. I was gripped in the heart, the spirit of truth. I obey your command as an offering of love. You show yourself to me and I thank you, Lord. Holy Ghost power is what I receive, so I store up your word for the time of need. That's blessed with twins. No home to raise them, no income coming in. A life of sin, no quality friends, no family dynamic, no support system. It's a generational curse. I call out the demon, I call it out of my home in the name of Jesus. I plead the blood of them boys, I'll keep them in prayer. I cast a burden on you, Lord, and I'm leaving it there. Have a go to work on us fathers, the good, the bad, the absentee, and the ones that don't bother. Let your will be done, that we raise our sons and nurture our daughters the way that you want us, without irritation or provoking their anger, but patiently a perfect work. I rebuke the hater, the family and church where the devil's at play. I lay axe to the roof to cut the head off the snake.
I pray for you, that's what I'm gonna do. I see
what we don't know, forsaken as an idol, God's chosen, held liable, instructions in the Bible, but who wants to read? It says to get an understanding, without faith you don't believe, and God's not pleased, you reap what you sow, sparingly you sow, you reap accordingly. I seek first the Lord's righteousness, I ask him, receive from God, that I might glorify him. I'm on my knees, calling on Jesus, I'm a believer, anointed to speak up, full of his word and Holy Ghost power. When I'm weak in my ways, I bathe in scriptural showers. Man cannot live by bread alone, but for every word of God, that's what I'm studying for.
I pray for you, that's what I'm gonna do.